Blair Oakle from the Blair Oakle Golf Academy joins us once again. Blair, how you doing?
And Gregor, a million to one.
Yeah, no, I'd probably be like a billion.
A billion
to one.
I got $10 on that.
Yeah, yeah. I would never, not a chance. Not a chance. I could probably shoot 72 on the front nine.
That good, eh?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'd be pretty happy with that. I'm guessing the courses that I play on, I couldn't imagine what it would be like on some of those courses. Just the putting, right? The putting itself, that's the hardest part.
Well, you know, we're not used to putting on the greens that they putt on. These greens are super, super fast. But I tell you, if you get the opportunity to play on that kind of speed, you know, if you get your line and you just hit it a little bit and it goes, it stays on line, it doesn't bounce and, you know, dart off line, and you can make a lot of putts.
Now, you have played, obviously, you know what, you being a pro, you played on different levels. When it's faster, are greens technically easier once you know the speed?
Well, you don't have to swing the putter as hard. So, you know, on a 10-foot putt, you only have to take it back maybe 3-4 inches. Whereas, you know, when they're fast greens, when they're slower greens, you have to take it back and you got to hit it a little harder, right? So, but when you're playing faster greens, obviously you have to play more break, and slower greens, you don't have to play as much break. But when you it's like putting on a pool table, these guys. So there's no bouncing on the ball, and it just rolls really true. And once you get the line, I tell you, that's why they make 20, 30 footers out there.
Blair,
the conditions.
When I look at this field, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I see 10 guys who can win the championship easily. It's not a long shot. It doesn't take them playing out of their mind. The bigger question is, for the longest time, we've talked about star quality, Tiger Woods, how good can he be?
Ooh.
Then can he come back? And it's an old storyline. It seems that it's swung to me now that you got Spieth and Johnson and Day and Fowler and all these guys who are in it every week, and it's a different dynamic from week to week, and especially at the majors.
Yeah, you know what, there's the big five, there's the new five, right? And those are the guys now that seem to be in contention each week. And, you know, it's changing of the guard. So all these guys are, you know, they're very talented golfers. But, I think now that, Rory's back and Spieth is playing phenomenal, you know, there's this rivalry that's starting to build again, like the olden days of Palmer and Nicklaus and Gary Player and now, you know, Mickelson and Tiger, and now that we're starting another generation, so it's pretty exciting. So, any one of those guys can definitely win, that's for sure. It's going to be a crapshoot this weekend.
I noticed the PGA, they really emphasized what we call the Dustin Johnson rule prior, you know, on Monday when the players arrived, on what would be considered a hazard and what isn't.
Oh, you know what, this 2010 PGA Championship, if I ask you who won, most people will go, well, isn't that the year Dustin Johnson lost? He got a two-shot penalty for hitting out of the so-called bunker. Nobody knows who won. Everybody forgets. And that would kind of took the thunder away from Martin Keimer, who actually won the event. It's a shame that we're always going to remember that PGA event, 2010, as the mishap in the bunker. Very unfortunate for Dustin. I still think to this day he got really robbed from that, it's what it is. But I don't remember a gallery standing in a bunker before at any golf tournament,
uh-huh,
and then having to play out of it. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And I think the PGA, they dropped the ball on it.
Well, definitely. And I was going to ask you about that because I know at times, you know, they let their stubbornness get in the way. They're like, no, this is how it is. But you're right. And you've been to majors, regardless of how, you know, obviously at Augusta would never happen. But, you know, at certain of those courses when they rotate it around, there's no chance at what's deemed a bunker that they allow the fans to stand in, right? Like there's no fairway bunkers that fans stand in regularly, is there?
No. So that's David Faraday, he was the first one up there to the ball, other than the gallery that, you know, they were throwing beer cans around. he was the first one there, and his first thought was he didn't even think it was a bunker. Like, you just, you know, they just, it's a, you know, a waste area, and away we go. He was right there with them, and he said, I would never have thought that that would have been a bunker. And you know, it's a shame for Dustin Johnson, but you know, he seems to be all right with it. I was watching him on his interview today, and they were asking the question, and do you ever think about, you know, that situation? He says, the only time I think about it is when you guys bring it up. So he's moved on, right? So
well, Blair, the thing is, I mean, and it happened at this course, so. You know, how much better is he now today than back when this happened to win the golf tournament? It seems to me he's way better equipped now than he was a few years back to be one of the favorites.
Oh, definitely. You know, he's definitely one of the top three in the world. And he's always seems to be right in the majors and the hunt. And he's obviously matured and learned a lot. And you know, from his mistakes. And that's, you know, Phil Mickelson did the same thing for a number of years. He made a lot of mistakes, and eventually, you know, now he's five majors in, and you know, that's going to be Dustin Johnson. He's going to win majors. There's no question. And you know, sometimes he just, you know, some players have to learn the harder way. Jordan Spieth, very, very fortunate. Things happen right away. You know, it's just one of those things. But you know, I think Dustin Johnson, you know, this week I truly believe he'll be there at the end of the on Sunday. He'll be in the top 10 for sure, if not winning it.
Blair Oka from the Blair Oka Golf Academy joined us. Does Jason Day just need to keep playing? Eventually he's going to win, or do you think there's something he has to do different to win a major?
He's one of the big five, there's no question. He just has to keep pushing and plugging away, and you know, it's going to happen for him too, right? This is why, you know, these guys play the game when they get to that level for the majors. They gear their games to becoming the best they can be and to compete in the majors. Just like, you know, hockey players gear themselves, you know, to win the Stanley Cup, and that's what they want to do. They, you know, that's their goals, right? And this is what their goal is. And Jason Day has all the tools to become a major champion, multi-major champion winner for sure. Is it this week? Who knows? It's going to be exciting, though, because the field is full. Tigers, you know, I want to mention Tiger. We always mention Tiger, but you know what? He's coming around. His game is coming around. And
Make the cut, you mean? Sure.
Yeah, to make the cut. Okay. Yeah, and that's what you want to do in the majors. You want to make the cut to give yourself an opportunity on the weekend. So,
come on, man. He's not winning this tournament. Let's we can move on. He needs to play better than that. He has played well for times, but unfortunately, you know, he's not playing like he has. And you mentioned that, you know, those five guys. What about Rory McIlroy? What, you know, coming off that injury, you know, I saw him showing the videos. You know, he was training, doing some rehab on unstable areas to ensure that maybe he has the strength, because, you know, this golf course is definitely one that doesn't have a lot of flat lines all the time.
Well, yeah, you know, Whistling Straits. Actually, I was golfing with a good friend of mine yesterday, and he played that course 3 weeks ago. And he said, Blair, you would not believe this course. He says, I played, he's a 3 handicap, and he says, I played phenomenal, and I shot 80. So, you know, this course has so many, you know, bumps and, you know, uneven lies and hills, and this could be, you know, I don't think Rory would have gone if he didn't think he was capable of playing this style of golf course. So I think he's going to be okay, but, you know, who knows? You start swinging the club at 125 miles an hour when you're on a downhill or a side hill or an uphill or whatever, and you twist that ankle, you know, he could do some damage. But, you know, I hope he's smart enough to think that he still has another 30, 40 years left to golf, that he's not going to rush this, and I think he's smarter than that. So I assume that he's 100%, but who knows? We'll, you know, time will tell, right, over the next 3-4 days.
Blair, when we look outside this group of the young great players right now, is there any of the old guard left aside from Phil Mickelson? And it sounds weird to call him old guard now. And Jim Furyk, who have a real shot this weekend?
Well, you know what? Out of all those guys, Jim Furyk seems to be the most consistent year in and year out. He's always in the top five in money list. This guy, he's phenomenal. I admire Jim Furyk so much. And, you know, you look at him, you probably run into him at a restaurant, and you go, you're one of the top golfers in the world for the last 25, 20 years. Like, you would never think that of him, right? And for him to keep doing what he's doing, he almost won last week and Firestone, and you know, he's always seems to be there. And he's one of the older guys, right? So, you know, it gives hope for all the older golfers that they can still play at a high level, right? But these young guys coming out, I tell you, you know, I was playing, we had a golf tournament, Redtail Landing, last week, and I played with these two young guys, and, you know, we happened to talk about, you know, how long you've been a PGA professional, and I said, well, yeah, you know, I turned pro in 1989, and one of the kids said, that's when I was, oh, that's the year I was born. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. They are hitting it so far, like, you know, they're bombing it 350 yards out there. And that's this generation now. They are hitting the ball a long ways. Tiger is not long anymore. He is just average. And that's all these guys are playing. They're coming in. They are athletes. They're geared. They're working hard. Their core is strong. And they're creating 125 to 130 mile an hour club head speed, which is just unreal.
Blair Oakle from the Blair Oakle Golf Academy joined us. Something new that you have down at your virtual golf, which is the exact same one that Jordan Spieth has in his house. Some new cameras?
Yeah, this is it's the full swing virtual golf system. What we're putting in and installing is these Ion cameras, which is going to make the virtual experience the most accurate in indoor golf. We're combining laser technology with Ion cameras, and this is why Jordan Spieth went with Full Swing and has it in his house, and he practices, which is, like, when he made that comment, it was just, you know, here's the best player in the world right now, you know, practicing for a major championship in his basement to get the sight lines at St. Andrews. Like, that's the technology now, and we're really excited to have them here at our golf academy, and they're going to be installed so this winter people can come down and test it out, and it's going to be the most accurate virtual golf ever, combining laser technology and cameras. Now we can measure the ball in seven different parameters, meaning, you know, spin, launch angle, club face, you know, ball speed, club speed. And it's just going to get all the information, so it's going to take club fitting to another level, plus playability. You know, the thing with, you know, virtual golf is, you know, how accurate is virtual golf? Well, you know, how accurate can you be when you take a ball from reality to virtual in 8 feet? Is it going to be 100%? Yeah, probably not. But now with all this new technology and what they're doing, it's becoming like almost 100%, bang on. And so that's really exciting, and it just makes indoor golf that much more enjoyable, especially in Edmonton, where we're basically seven to eight months indoor, you know, 7 months for sure. And now you can, you know, come and play in St. Andrews and really experience it with your true ball flight and how you play golf. And that's what people want to see when they play virtual golf. So we're really excited to have this going here, and it should be up and running by the middle of September, and we'll have it going. So you guys, I'll treat you for a round of golf. We'll play St. Andrews. How does that sound?
Blair, you talk about this, you know, the remarkable upgrades in the technology with the virtual golf and Spieth using it. Will this be commonplace even for players on the tour who play plenty of golf as it is, but in the off-season training and that sort of thing? You expect to see more of these systems in the homes of the PGA guys?
Totally. Steve Stricker has Full Swing. Mark Wilson, Full Swing. These are the guys that I know of that have them in their house. Steve Stricker lives in Wisconsin, so, you know, they're only maybe 8 months, 4 months off season where they camp golf because of the conditions. And so he has one in his house, and I know that he practices on the Full Swing system, the same system. Mark Wilson, the same thing. He's in Minnesota. So these guys now can, you know, play. Like Mark Wilson said, he prepared for the U.S. Open last year with Pinehurst. And just getting the sight lines. And the graphics are phenomenal nowadays with the virtual, especially with the full swing system, which we have. And there's no, the graphics, you just, there, it's pretty neat to actually play and see, you know, the trees are actually moving, and there's, you know, you play Pebble Beach, the water is splashing up on the shorelines, and yeah, it's just, you know, they're taking the virtual golf to another level. And you know what, guys, you can come in and play 18 holes in an hour. It's about time, right? And you can still get your golf fix, and you get, you know, you can go and play and have and not spend 5-6 hours, which we've talked about before.
Now, I know, sorry to cut you off, Blair. You instruct people. So when they're playing virtual golf, does it hinder your game if you play, you know, virtual golf once a week and then go play outside? How different is it? Like, is there a hindrance to your game at all?
I wouldn't, definitely not. You're swinging, you're playing, you're hitting your driver, you're hitting your wedges, you're hitting your fairway woods, you're working on your swing, you're practicing, and you know, if you do that all winter, when you come out for the summer and want to get out and play, you're ready to go. Your swing's grooved, and you know, the members that play here in our league throughout the winter, their handicap has dropped. Some guys have dropped 10 in their handicap. And they've contributed to being able to have the opportunity to play year-round and in a golf setting. And so you are going to improve on your swing, for sure.
Okay. Who are you picking this week?
Well, I think Fowler's close. I'm going with Jason Day.
Jason Day.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Any long shot going to surprise?
Long shot... you know, Fjerk is, I wouldn't think he's a long shot. What was his odds? Did you have his?
I did not have Fjerk. He wasn't in the top 10.
He wasn't in the top 10. So, you know, there would be a long shot. And he's playing good golf. He almost won at Firestone. Similar type of course. A lot of target. Yeah, very tight. He hits the driver very straight. So when you're in a major championship, that's what you have to do. So I'm going to pick Fjerk as a long shot. Even though I don't think he should be a long shot, but if he's not in the top 10 in the betting, then, yeah, I'd probably go with Furyk.
Blair, always good to catch up with you, man. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys.